Hey, Joe, can you mute your phone? Picking up your...
I thought I did mute it.
Okay, I'm hearing a guy's working hard.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I was just picking up the lyrics, scraping. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, Barbara, vice chair, committee member. Carly.
Phyllis Grant from Family Involvement Center and a community member.
Melissa Brown, Arizona Complete Health.
And Ken Gerrals, psychologist. Okay, why don't we have minutes at all reviewed from backwards or anything?
Again, that's an online thing.
Right. Anybody who might want to get a chance to see it, view it.
I think that I have.
That being said, we can at least, anyone has any comments one way or the other, then we can, I know I looked at it, I have no objection to it, so we accept the minutes unless there's any changes. Barb's the second, okay, minutes been carried as printed in the IOC. Okay, and that was for December. This, of course, is January 28th meeting, so just for the record, so. We have anybody from IOC as far as the mission, vision, either Veronica, Larry?
Good morning, Ken. This is Veronica with ADOA. Unfortunately, Larry will not be able to join us this morning.
Okay.
But just a quick update. Have sent over the business cards to be printed out. We're still waiting on those. I know I mentioned at the last meeting that we were hopeful that they'd be ready by today. Unfortunately, are not. But as soon as they are ready, I will contact Barbara and send those over via mail, if that's okay with you all, just to ensure that you get those sooner than later. For any upcoming events that you guys might have and you want to use those for recruiting purposes again, make sure we send that out over there. Another update was from Larry Allen. Just wanted to thank you all for participating in the task force meeting that was held back in January 17th. He did send out a quick note afterwards. He is, I believe, working right now to conduct, to collaborate with each of the chairs to get a meeting. I do believe this is something that the chairs were voicing, to have a meeting with all the chairs, meaning DDD, IOCs, ASH IOCs as well, to participate as well with you all. So I don't know, there's no date for that, but that is coming up soon. I know that's something that the chairs would like to see. And then a follow-up for that, Larry, I believe, did send over a note to the chairs with the approved manual. I am not certain if there anything has happened since then. I want to say he did send out a note to the chairs formally just letting them know that the manual was approved. And at this time, those would be all the updates. I know that the training, unfortunately, will not happen today, but for next month, if that's something that will be happening, ADOA would be happy to bring in a projector. If that's something that will be needed, that could be coordinated with Larry. Again, if you guys need any tools or resources, please let us know. Thank you, Melissa, for organizing that. If you guys have any other questions.
No. I don't think so. Don't look like it. Was anyone else here? No, we're good. Everybody's kind of nodding or agreeing that the questions are not needed at this point. Okay. Is that it on your report?
That is all from my end.
Yeah, that's fine. Just want to clarify. Okay. I left a message for Jason. He may be coming later, law enforcement again. He gets pulled in and out with his job, and that's pending, so he may come back in a little later. Anything as far as member recruitment? Do we have anything, new members or potential members?
Yeah, Tyson Gillespie over at the Desert Rose Clinic at CPIH, he apologized he couldn't be there today, but I know that is one of his goals, is to become one of the members of the committee. So he said that he'll definitely be there next month and that he wants to be able to continue to maybe be one of the committee members coming up. But he does want to see if he can get a brochure or something about the committee, so that way he can start passing it on to help encourage people to come.
Hey, Sharon. I was just going to jump in and say, if you could have him go onto the website, we do have, he can apply directly through there. It's ioc.az.gov. And there is a button in the menu that says application.
Okay.
And if he can fill that out, that information I will then forward to the committee. It asks a couple of questions, and it also asks for a resume. And once we have all that information, we'll send that over to the committee for you all to review and hopefully to discuss and vote on for your next meeting.
Okay. And then I heard that Phyllis Grant's in the room, so I hope that she chooses to join too. Just put
perfect. Yes, please fill that out online. If you would rather have a paper application, I could also send over that PDF form for you all if you'd rather do that. But currently right now, the application's through the website. Again, that address, the web address is ioc.az.gov.
And it has a full explanation about the IOC on there too, right?
Yes, ma'am. If you go to about us, it'll have an explanation. Also, if you do have any like specific questions, we have a contacts button on there as well. I do believe we have a brochure on there as well.
Okay, perfect. I'll look at it right now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Veronica. Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you, Jason.
We worked it out. Veronica explained to Sharon to explain to Tyson and anybody coming ahead to use the website for all sorts of information on our committee. And it's just back to that, please come to 3 meetings and we'll bring you in if you're so interested.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I just had to step out talking to Jason. So Jason, it was coming on the phone pretty soon. So hopefully pop in and say hello.
Okay.
So as far as membership and corporate, thank you. Melissa, do you have any updates for us or any changes, new place or locations, programs?
I have some resources. Or just some new things that we have. So we have a new individual and family affairs member advocate brochure. So if you're not familiar, each of the plans have 4 different advocates. We have the veteran advocate, CRS, adult and child behavioral health advocate. So basically their role is just, if somebody's going through the system, they keep on encountering problems, and they can contact advocates directly. I'll give you guys some. I have a few Spanish, and I have some English too.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then there was a letter sent out by Access about transportation, because we all know that comes up tons of times here. So this isn't from us. It's from Access, but it gives a bit of a description for people to look at, so that way they at least have an idea of how it works. So I'll send that to you guys electronically too, so you can share, because we'd like to get that out to as many people as possible, just because we've had so many transportation issues.
Are there any improvements?
It's kind of the same deal. I mean, we're always trying to figure out different ways to improve it, but we haven't had anything solid change now. But we still, like when Tiffany came here from Tiffany Booth, if you do hear from someone or if it's yourself and you have a transportation issue, please have them contact us, because that's the only way that we can track it and know that there's an issue going on.
Okay.
I gave you credit boarding, the new boarding home report.
So you got that, oh, wow.
Got the highlighted ones.
How many are there on that? I know it's hard, you don't have to count, but this
And this is pretty good fresh, and I can always check with you.
It is, yeah, it's definitely, yeah, it's within the last couple of weeks that I got it from them. There's not, it doesn't look like there's too many, there actually looks like there may have been one new boarding home owner, but the list keeps dwindling, you know, that people just aren't staying in boarding homes as much, or they're closing down.
Or where are they going?
Yeah.
Yeah, where are they?
That would be, your guess would be good as mine, it could be with a relative, it could be in supported housing, so our providers encourage them to go to the supporting housing that's provided, just because it's overseen more, Michelle knows this.
Yeah. Yeah, we highly do not endorse or encourage boarding homes, just because, you know, it's unlicensed, and so,
You say we, you mean?
Kodak, right.
All of our providers, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry, with Kodak. I know we have, you know, case managers at our agency that go out to see their assigned members once a month and assess their living situations and offer them other service, other alternatives.
Good.
So that's always ongoing. Whether they accept it or refuse it, I mean, that's a number, but options are offered.
Mm-hmm. And that's on that report. That's one of the categories on there.
Yeah.
I recognize all of these except a few. I have a couple numbers.
It's going to change forever, though.
I know, yeah. I'd like to get, because I've never been, there's a couple I haven't been to, but there's no number. No contact.
On that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll let you know. I circled it.
Okay. I thought we were past that issue. I'll get it for you.
No. It's okay. Minor.
But if you have any trouble with it, let me know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good. It's a progress getting the list down and fewer. It was always a goal to have fewer boarding homes.
One last question, Michelle. Do you think it's an improvement that they're getting in? Where are they going then if they're not in these boarding homes? I'm sorry I missed that. Where are they directing them?
Well, there's, you know, different types of housing, like semi-independent housing, or if they need higher level of care, maybe supported housing. So it really depends on their need.
And the system has enough support to providing support for them?
Well, there's always, I think, as people are finishing up with, I mean, it's kind of like a hard, you know, like ask or question to answer because it really depends on the member's need.
Sure.
Yeah, the appropriate
necessary. Okay. I'm glad that it's going down. It's a, you know, a good trend as far as downward, as far as. Speaking of that, maybe we could, anything else in that area, otherwise we'll segue into room and board. Barb went out yesterday, myself, went out to Ruth Dempsey House. It's about 12 residents there. It's located on North Crate Road. And now the time there, and I'll turn it over to Barb if she better knows than I did, and I can jump in there.
Okay, I'll just briefly go through it. Anything, then I'll hand it back to Kim to pick up on anything I missed.
Just the highlights, because just an overview.
Sure. Basically, we went to Ruth, and I love, by the way, Ruth Dempsey. I've been visiting her boarding home for the last few years. I did bring some of her flyers here and some cards if you do want some sort of care. She has 5 different residences, by the way, and with different levels of care. And in fact, one of our members, somebody I know, called me and asked for a recommendation, and she was one that I recommended, in that to the degree that she can, she keeps one of the tightest ships I've seen as far as keeping notes and posting the rules and all that type of thing. With that said, this is one of her sites. With that said, this is on a busy, busy area over on Baycroft and Speedway. It wasn't one of my favorite places to go, even with that said, and as well as she is trying to provide a system there. These were high-functioning folks from the community. And in other words, they had to be pretty independent, and they were from all agencies, you know, Kodak, and La Frontera and Cope. And so we had somebody from everybody. We had 7 males and 5 females, so the, comprising the 12. Tight little place, 2 bathrooms, yikes. You know, but they had it listed so they had showers on certain days, and they had, they did their own sheets on certain days. They did have a gal come in, and we showed up at around 1, so we got to see lunch happening, and it did smell good. And the gal that walked with us, that is the helper or assistant to Ruth, was there, and she came and met us, and aside from the cook. And see, they don't have a full-time person on this site. This is for people in the system to come and find a place to sleep, basically, because the house provided little more than that other than 3 meals a day. And it was pretty tight rules and stuff. And anyway, everything was posted, rules that everything, we did a full tour. It was very sparsely furnished. There was a bed and a little place to put your stuff. But the people living there, we were surrounded by them and at a table with them, they seemingly seemed satisfied to the degree. There was one private room, surprisingly enough, a gal paid the extra, which, by the way, the going rate was $800 a month, but I understand they kind of vary. And I think there was more being charged. I know there was more being charged for the room because it also had a bathroom. So it was a little room with a bathroom and a TV. I guess it was high because I know some might have been paying thousands like that. And the lowest I heard, and again, she does, it was shared with me, she does accommodate those that are having trouble with, if they only have so much, they pay less monthly. And but $800 there, and I found that a little bit shocking because there's literally not one green thing. You know, it was a building, just as plain as can be, and just some outdoor furniture, indoor furniture, just so you could eat. It was a shaded area for them to sit outside and smoke, but and a TV, and very, very little more was provided. Very clean, very tidy. They do nothing to do with the medications, nothing to touch there. We got the impression that the food was adequate, fine, everybody was happy. Can't have food in your room because they had trouble with that, understandably. When the kitchen shuts at, let's say, 4:35 after all the food is eaten, there's nothing for these people. And I thought about that, and all honestly, though, there's every kind of place they can step out off the site and buy something, you know, so they could bring in their own snacks and stuff. But it's not provided there, and everything's locked up at a certain hour because they've had trouble. And I've seen that at other sites, so I get that, that they lock up everything. They don't have their own refrigerator. Once upon a time did, and it was broken. Again, the bathrooms were clean smelling, but it looked like they knew we were coming. The things were really pretty ship-shaped. Smelled okay, not adequate. Fire systems were all in place and functioning except for the one that we mentioned. Trying to think of other impressions.
Yeah.
And we spoke at length with one of the clients, but that was the most challenging. He is definitely in our system for a reason. Did we speak with anybody else? We didn't really get any interviews.
We spoke with Ken, Steve, Yeah.
But seemingly people just getting along, living their lives there. But any questions on that? I mean, I got...
What's the address on
Craycroft? Okay, sure. 1152 North Craycroft. And I have a contact number too if anybody would need it. And again, it's non-licensed. There's 15 beds. They could actually get more in there. I don't know where they put them.
Right.
And 800... Yeah, 7 males currently and 5 females. And they were... had to get along, or they had to go, which I've seen that before. What are you going to do?
The rules, Barb mentioned that they were posted there about 20 of them, but there, you know, no smoking in your room, and as far as getting along, if there's a problem, come, you know, talk to her, and that's solving that right away. The food, it was, we were there at lunchtime, and it was hot, it was just, but we went over the there's no one that lives there at night. It's pretty much a daytime as far as caretaker operation that way, as far as supervision. And by, 5 o'clock after supper or 6 o'clock, they're on their own. That being said, though, as far as just jumping back to the food, it was a hot meal. Was rice and chicken, and everybody sat down at the table there, just about everyone, a couple of us go in the room. So, could it be better? Yes. Could it be some decorations on the wall or something personal, a little more space? Yeah. Question, I'd be curious to see, and maybe we can find this out. I'm not sure if most of your folks can, but is there a range? The answer is yes, there's a range, but in terms of folks getting charged $900, are we dealing with some exploitation? I don't know what the current going rate is. I don't, $800 a month to get you a nice apartment, 3 bedrooms or 2 bedrooms, some places in Tucson, with a pool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't give you food, I realize that, but you could buy with that. So I'd be curious to see if anybody's tracking on that as far as.
And that's the thing with boarding homes, is anybody can open up shop, and there's really no oversight, no regulation that they're following. So,
beware.
I wonder if the Fair Housing Act, if there's something under there that we could find.
Is there someone there you know? Or
I don't know offhand. It would just be a suggestion of a place.
There's also the Center for Disability Law.
Right.
Because, again, in the past, the ones that I visited, the range is usually 5 to 7. There's extra. Starting at 8, I thought was full.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, this one's paying $900, the lady that was in their private room.
Or I got the impression even maybe more.
More?
I was trying to, listening carefully to see what she would slip and say. Yeah.
So maybe between the two of us, three of us, let's follow up in terms of fair housing.
Because I've been to her other sites, and it seems to me, I don't have a look, I just can go look, and I can't they were like around the 500 range, it seems to me. But I haven't been to her sites for a few years, Ruth. Been to one other one relatively recently last year. I'll go check price she was charging there. It didn't send off a red flag like this one did.
Yeah, that definitely was that. So I thought, what we're about is looking, making sure people aren't being exploited and just taken advantage of. Because the argument is, well, if they don't want to move, they're happy. Yeah, I don't buy that. I mean, not these people. I meant that concept of it because, it's like, okay, so like the abuse victim, well, they're happy living in there. It's okay if she gets abused. I mean, they're not abused. I'm not going at it, but just juxtapose that concept of, they're used to that.
Like a lot of money that for kind a home.
So people use that idea. So I'm not saying that's the case here, but I think we got to get more vigilant and get out there. So fair housing is the start. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll look at you got the address to be given. You have her number.
I have everything.
Thank you. This site is too much. I've been to other ones, but I haven't been to all of her sites again. I think they need to.
Okay, I know I talked to Sharon Gillespie about going on site visits as well, and then Joanna is going to be doing more of the computer work with the incident accident deaths, right? So kind of giving up at least our small group here.
Norma is her assistant. I just want to throw in one last thing. She's only 10 minutes away, and both Ruth, all these numbers are posted clearly, or Norma will pop over if anybody calls 24/7. So that, I think, is feature that's nice. You don't always see that.
Right.
Unless you have a live on site person.
Okay. Any other questions of us or our group? Phyllis, do you want to give us any updates or anything else? Special populations, kids, children? That the group should be concerned about?
I have a couple things I'm concerned about specifically, but there's a couple of families I know trying to get their child into school because the child has 7 and has not toilet trained, has autism. The school told her no, and I said, well, that's illegal.
whole thing. So I'm working on that with that particular family. I know there's a huge need in southern Arizona also for respite. Respite is a real problem for, I'm doing a lot, my agency, we're hiring more and more, but not just respite for biological families, we're doing a lot of respite for foster families. And because of Jacob's Law, you know, they can seek their own services, so they are. But that's a huge need.
Jason.
I think geriatrics is kind of bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You can't get in.
Okay. Yeah. Numbers.
As
far as the
insurance system. 1-4-0.
It's hard, like, it's hard to find.
0-8-7-9.
One of the things we're working on is trying to get more family involvement throughout the system. There's minimal family involvement at provider agencies. I guess, I'm not sure about the health plan, but at the provider agency. So we're trying to create some, helping some parents become parent leaders and help have a voice in improving, changing, and adding a different perspective. I'm on a committee, and we have a grant to help train and support families as they're doing that. So I would have to say, and then of course the youth, trying to get the youth involved. That's a challenge. Not training them. So
not
with the youth so much. Yeah. And I don't know how much NAMI helps with families in committees. I'm on one committee, Sharon and I, which I don't know when the next meeting is because things have changed, with the Foster Kinship Adoption Forum, and I think NAMI might be there.
Yeah, they haven't scheduled the next meeting for this year because the person who was heading it up, Patty Price, got a different position. So that's something I'll be sending out as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, I got her email, and then I thought they were going to start up again in January for that committee, and I've not heard a word.
I think that was the original plan, but it just
didn't happen. Okay. So
we're
working
on it, yeah.
What about the peer family?
Hi, can you guys hear me on the phone?
Yes.
Those are very awesome.
Hi. This is Jakeisha Hughes from Care First. I'm sorry, I snuck on. I joined a little bit late, so I apologize. But if I'm understanding correctly, it's a little bit hard to hear on the phone, is that there's an IOC member seeking opportunities for family involvement within the plans. Did I hear that correctly?
So this is Phyllis from Family Involvement Center. We're trying to get more families involved in different committees at different levels in provider agencies throughout throughout the state. But I'm Southern Arizona representative.
Hi, Phyllis.
Director. Hi.
Hi. I think we actually talked on the phone a little while back, and so I'll just speak for our health plan, but I know Care First has a member advocacy council, which is opened to members or family members or community stakeholders that is held quarterly. So the information's on our website, but it's an open meeting and a great opportunity for, if that's what you're looking for opportunities for peers or family members to have involvement in health plan decision making. So I'll just throw that out there.
What area of Arizona are you in?
Our physical office is in Phoenix, but we do serve Pinal County.
Okay. And Northern Arizona too, right?
Yeah, so we're in Pinal County in the south only, and then we have all of the central region and the north as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I work with your counterpart, Tricia Reiner, in the north, yeah.
Yeah. So as far as, you know, so she's working on getting more family involvement there, and I have to work on the Pinal, Pima, and below. So as far as the services for families and children in southern Arizona,
I don't have a whole lot of information because I know in Southern, in Nogales area, we're working with a lot of families. So there's a lot of challenges down there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of challenges with collaboration between DCS and families, between DCS and agencies, other than one particular agency that they want to work with. So there's some real significant challenges down there. We've had we've had Arizona Complete Health pass the action that's going to help with one family with a case. So I know that my partner in Nogales has been really frustrated with a couple of cases down there because the families are not being respected, and they're not listening to the parent, the biological parent, and there's family issues. And she has five or six kids, and one of the kids is with a relative, and that relative is telling stories about it. So it's just a mess.
Yeah.
And so we're there for the parent. That's who we started with. So that's been a real challenge. Working with DCS in Nogales is very, very, very difficult. They're not real collaborative, and they're not real open. And they only want to work with like one specific agency down there. So that's been a real challenge for the last year that we've been down there. Year.
Is Patsy helping you on that one?
She was, but I think we've
Check in with her.
She and Erica were working with each other.
Yeah. I'll check in with her today. She's in the office.
And then the school. They're trying, but...
I'm sure you might know more, but doesn't Intermountain have an academy for children?
Kids with autism?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do.
It's the autistic school, yeah.
Yeah.
But this mom lives in Sunnyside School District, and so she's all the way over there. And the challenge is that the autism diagnosis has been given by two Flowing Wells District and Amphi School. Oh, no, TUSC School District. No, maybe it's Amphi. And my understanding, and there's no IEP in place, and my understanding is for Intermountain, they have to have an IEP that specifies autism. I could be wrong, but that was my
I think it does, and then they also, the best thing to do for looking into that is just call the academy, because I don't know what their wait list looks like or what that looks like. I know they just changed location. To a new campus, but last I heard they had over 100 students and they go all the way up through high school. So the best thing to do would be call Intermountain Academy and see what the process is and if they have to, what requirements they have to meet just to get them on the wait list.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon. That's helpful. Any other comments on that or help? I'm hoping Jason's still trying to get in. I think he had the other number there. So.
I'm here.
Jason?
I made it on. I'm here.
Oh, good.
Hi, Jason.
I just want to introduce you to the group. If you want to pick up
hi,
on law enforcement, give us an update on that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so our next CIT training is going to be towards the end of March. And then for legislation, I just went to a meeting yesterday. I do have an update for that. It doesn't look like any changes to 36501 are really moving forward this year. It looks like they're going to wait for next year. But I know that Senator Bartow is still working on some pretty big overhauls in some other areas like restoration to competency. And there's also a funding bill that's about $15 million, so an appropriations bill, for about $15 million to be split between all of the counties. And if that goes through, Pima County's cut would be about $2 million. And that would go specifically for funding jail diversion programs. So that's a pretty big one that we want. That's a pretty good amount of money that we probably want to pay attention to. And that'll be good if that passes. And that's my update.
Oh, okay. Good.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, Bartow is certainly, I know she's running again. I see some of her literature, and she certainly has been a proponent, a supporter. I mean, she's up in Phoenix.
I think so, too. I think she's one of the better ones up there for understanding all the programs we're involved with and what the needs are, for sure.
Yeah, you know, she's got skin in the game, so to speak. I mean, that sense comes across very, very good. Anything else as far as TPD or just general?
No, everything else is still kind of just same old. We're still kind of just plugging away out there with Title 36. We're still doing a lot of homeless outreach, and things are going well.
Good.
Remember, Amy mentioned him.
Yeah, we did a home visit reported earlier. Ruth Dempsey's house on North Craycroft. It was one of the residents there. First name is Amy.
Okay.
She mentioned your name, but I'll go into a lot of detail. It's very positive. So.
Oh, good. Glad to hear.
Yeah. So I saw how she said, you know, and Jason Wensky, that's a name I've heard, you know.
Yeah.
Pass on some.
There you go. Good.
Okay, anything else? That's it?
No, I will stay on the line, though.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for the mix-up on the communication.
Thank you.
And we had here voting bylaws. I know Barb sent that out, copies of it.
Right,
you have your own
one.
Copies at home.
Everybody got them, and what I'm hoping is these are from the Northern Arizona Human Rights Committee, which basically these were designed on our path.
Yeah, they copied ours,
they copied ours.
Theirs. It's kind of keeping it all together in the same venue.
And I'd like to push it forward. The only thing we've always discussed, and I shouldn't bring it up now, but I'm going to, is Article 2, Section A. It talks about the term of membership. That's never going to happen because it talks about, you know, you have you can go for 3 years and then with two consecutive terms. Well, I've been here since 2008, and I think that's a little over the 3 years limit times two. So I'm just saying that I would like to recommend that we go ahead and vote these in, even though we're going to be loosey-goosey on sections of it, because attendance is another tricky one. You know, we are volunteers, and we have people with lots of things going on.
Right.
And if we were to stick with this by the book, we wouldn't have anybody showing up at all. So, but beyond that, I think it's a wonderful set of bylaws, and I'm just hoping we can axe out Northern, put Southern, and make them our own.
It's something that you all had a chance to be.
And they have been distributed repeatedly.
Any
more comments? Anybody?
Anyone on the phone there? Michelle? Or,
yay.
No. Okay. So would you like to make a motion that we
make a motion that we...
Go ahead.
Make these our own once we make the edited corrections referring to us.
Well, that and then the issue about the term limit.
I'm going to approach Veronica. Are you there, Veronica? Well, I'll approach people and see if I can.
I know that probably comes out not from Veronica and company, but probably in this somewhere along the line as far as the statutes. But we can check on that.
Okay. If I can get if we go ahead and vote this in, then I'll make that resolve that a little bit and again get the edited changes.
Thanks, Bart. Thank you. I have a call for the vote here as far as unless all in favor. First of all, is there a motion besides Barb? Second to that? Second to Barb's motion to put to that.
All right, second.
Joanne?
Hello, I apologize. I put myself on mute.
Oh, no worries, Veronica. You know what? This is about the
bylaws
that we're going to vote on. We just were this close to voting them in.
With one caveat, and the idea that we will edit it with our marker on it. But I want, can I reach out to you later and I'll discuss this one issue I have with this. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's absolutely okay.
Later, yeah. Right. See what
okay.
we can do.
So there's a second by on the floor with Joanne.
Yes.
All in favor?
Yes. Aye.
Jason, thank you.
I,
and
Michelle.
We need Joe or Sharon.
Sharon, are you there? If Jay's on mute, I don't know.
Joe?
Well, I think the majority here has passed, so we'll
we have it.
Just call it that, and then I'll just revisit it next month.
Hello?
Okay.
This is Sharon. I disconnected myself and reconnected myself.
Oh.
Okay, that's what we thought. So we're just calling for the vote on the bylaws and with a slight amendment of the way it's written up. So I think she's...
Yeah, so I agree with putting them in and then with a one edit.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we called for the vote. I think so we got affirmative... Few people were around who could vote. I take it, what is your vote on that? Are you for or against?
For.
You're for? Hello?
And Jason, five. That's five.
I'm a yes. I was a yes.
Thanks,
yes,
Jason.
Yes for Jason, a yes for Sharon?
Yes.
And a yes for Joe, I think I heard. Okay. Motion passed, and then we'll be able to adopt those bylaws. Okay, good.
Get that resolved. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Reba and provider updates. I know we talked.
Yeah, I don't have
that.
Anything else.
Report from the public. The public is, we don't really get that rigid about, you know, the public not being able to speak. We're lucky we have enough people around the table. Next meeting is February 25th, 2020. And will that number change to conference call and the we'll get that?
I'll make sure that I'm signing, but then again, I think computers are sentient. So
this is the one from the email you sent.
Interesting enough, I pulled mine up so I could print off copies for the meeting, and we have the same one.
Yeah.
But he got another one, which I can't understand.
Yeah, which is
this one's on fourth floor, too.
Oh, yeah.
So it should be, I don't want new people to get lost.
I think that's the one
that was posted up there, so usually look at it before
I come
in.
Okay, you know what? I got to have words with her. Whoever is editing this, the changes, I just don't know what to do with this person. But I'll make sure this gets resolved for our next meeting. I see it myself.
Not a crisis.
It's
okay. So just before that week before, we'll double check on because assuming that we have this room, I take it for have the room settled, you know, as far as schedule for next the 20.
Right. We only had the two adjustments.
25th of February, and then we'll just check on the check on the numbers. So for those who can't attend, at least telephonically they can. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else?
They work.
Okay, this is Phyllis. We have a grant with CMS to help families enroll or anybody enroll in Access. Arizona's the fourth worst state in the country for getting people that are eligible for Access onto Access. So Family Involvement Center has been given a grant statewide to help families do that. We have two assisters for Southern Arizona. They're both bilingual. They both have laptops and portable scanners. So they can meet with people in their home, at agencies, at the library. And I forgot the flyers. They're sitting in the backseat of my car. But they can enroll them. And get them going on Access, so that hopefully they can improve their health outcomes, because instead of going to the emergency room, they can get doctors and get immunizations and all ages. It's free. You know, we're not going to enroll anybody sick. We just want to get people on Access. So so they can get the health care that they need.
Okay.
And then the other grant that I mentioned about getting families involved in committees and stuff. But I have my business card. I can give those to you guys.
Please.
So that then I can send electronically the flyer to everybody.
All right. There you go. A little progress. And while I'm just jumping back to recruitment, do you have any access to, we all do, of course, to NAMBI? Is there anyone there? You know, Judy is kind of on leave now. Is there anyone you know over there we could talk to?
I know in Southern Arizona. She's amazing. In Southern Arizona, I mean, I was talking about Cochise,
right.
Santa Cruz, Graham, Greenlee County. I know somebody, but in Pima County, Judy was it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so she's kind of taking a leave there with more family thing, and I was wondering, pass the word out that we need more folks here. Do you go to their meetings at all?
I don't, but
okay.
I can certainly reach out to them. Absolutely.
Could you?
Could you pass the word to her for me?
Pass it around. You have another one?
I do.
One for you?
I got her.
Yeah, she's got me.
Okay. Anything else, then? I'm going to cut him off for that. Adjourn. Be next month, and then we'll pick up where we left off. Thank you, Barb, for all setting up the arrangements and getting it all coordinated.
You're more than welcome.
Appreciate it.
I've got parking.
Anyone need parking?
Anybody?
Otherwise, we're adjourned as far as officially on that.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll
thank
be
you, everyone.
On a site visit then.
Coming, right?
Have a good afternoon, everyone.
All right. You too, babe.
If you want to, that would be good.